columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and Tina.
Gizmo here just collapsed, Tyler, right in front of me.
Bears be walking in the crib and everything.
Can't rely on technology, do you?
Yeah, my God, the whole thing just fell apart on me.
I've been thinking about it a lot, Sean.
All right. Here we go. Yeah, the Rona.
Rona.
Tyler, the big news of the day is your battle with Zach Bye and Madden, and it can be revealed to the world as it was released on at least some form of video. I was watching something for a couple minutes today. I don't know if there's a deeper dive into it somewhere to be found, but I mean, we saw what the results were.
Yeah, it's on the old Twitter machine. You can find it there at 104.3 The Fan. You can also find it on the website, 104.3thefan.com. How about those nice little plugs by old Palumbo? Yeah, man, I tell you what, there was a lot of pressure going into this game, D-Mac. You know, Zach's turned it into a little bit of a nemesis of mine. I think it's all fun and games, but I tell you what, I really wanted to beat him. I could not afford to go down 0-2 to him. I just couldn't do it.
No.
You know, one of them was in real life. I understand. This one was electronically. I don't care. We were competing, and I promise you he wanted to win that game as badly as I did. And I tell you what, it feels good to taste victory. It does. It just feels good to taste victory.
Well, hold on a second.
Oh, hey, Zach Bye is still here.
Hold on. Was there even an invitation extended
to
Zach Bye on this one?
You don't have to be anywhere right now? You don't have to get going?
No,
you're all right?
I don't have to be anywhere this second, and okay. I was not invited, and I am Chad Kelly and myself into this situation because I just learned something, Tyler Palumbis.
What's that?
I was just informed that the new versions of Madden, and I'm from the old school. When I used to play Madden, they used to glitch up and just shake in the middle of the screen sometimes.
Okay.
In this era of Madden, apparently, if you go for it on fourth down in an unrealistic scenario, there is an algorithm within the game that punishes you as a team and makes it nearly impossible to convert and actually switches the momentum to the other team.
Yeah, see, Zach, I learned that lesson myself last night playing against Raj.
I heard.
So we both are aware of that. The only difference is you were the only dumb to do it when there was something on the line.
Oh, well, what can I say?
The computer game says if you take some sort of ridiculous risk that you shouldn't do, there's going to be consequences for it.
Yeah, and they actually they punish you on the play. They actually make it near impossible. And actually, if you decide to punt and just go about it the way that, you know, someone would in an actual game, they actually reward you. Your defense plays a little bit better on the following possession because you did the responsible thing. And if you do what I did, go throw it on fourth and four from your own 35,
like
Bill O'Brien.
Like a big dumb. Go ahead. I mentioned like a big dumb. Yeah. Can you say that part?
Like a big dumb.
Okay.
The game not only punishes you on that particular play by making it near impossible, but in terms of the umbrella of the game itself, it switches the momentum to the opposition.
But isn't that real life?
That's real life.
Zach, a video game.
Zach, and listen, Vance Joseph should have been fired for much less than this. But listen, if Vance Joseph would have gone for it on fourth and four from his own 35, he would have been fired on the spot. All right.
Oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. I have incredible regrets, And I just hope for another opportunity.
Can we just talk about like a little play-by-play of the Zach Bye emotions? Because, you know, we come out the gates. My very first play, I go for the shot. You know, I'm going for the home run. I toss about a 55, 60-yard pass. INT, big mistake by old Palumbo. Zach picks it up, gets that INT. Momentum's not going well. And if you look at the screen, you can see Zach. He's sitting with his back, like, straight up. And he's bouncing on his chair like a little schoolgirl. He's like, I got an interception. Look at this.
And
as the game progresses, you could just see the life get sucked out from his face, and he becomes stonewalled, isn't saying a dang word. It was one of the most emotionally satisfying things I've ever witnessed in my life.
It was an incredible arc, wasn't it? Oh my gosh, at one point in the game I was saying I can't tell if it's so quiet in Baltimore because they're playing without fans or they're just in stunned silence, and it was about two plays later that the whole game turned around.
There was one point that he was so dang cocky, it was going so well, he was straight giving the play-by-play of the game as if he was the announcer and not the player, and I had to remind him, dude, you are playing in this game. Oh, you don't give the play-by-play if you are the player.
I was going back to my to my former life, but I'll tell you what, man. Here's the only thing I want.
Yeah,
I want
yeah.
another opportunity.
Oh, sure.
And I want the level of what's on the line to make me too nervous to ever go for it on 4th and 4.
Wow.
What? Your pride wasn't enough?
It was not.
You know what, Zach? I had the same issue when I showed up in a headband and Daisy Dukes on playing you in basketball.
Oh my gosh.
So where do we see all this and hear all this? And where 1043thefan.com?
Yeah, but I wouldn't even worry about it.
You wouldn't even worry about it, right? You know what? Go to 1043thefan.com.
Go to the website.
You can also find it on the Twitter account at 1043thefan. It's all over the place. It's only about 2 minutes and 20 seconds, which I was a little bit bummed out by because, we put about 48 and a half hours of work into this thing.
All of the things that you guys have done, all of it, all is just boiled down to 2 minutes? Like, we can't even watch you play the whole game? It's just, that's it?
Well, you got the highlights. You got the Sports Center version.
You got some highlights. Let me just share a quote with you from Tyler Palumbis from yesterday morning.
Okay.
Quote, I want to put my hands around your neck and watch your life escape from your body. End quote.
All right. Wow. Well, as long as it's all lighthearted and fun. All right, thanks, Zach.
I didn't. I would never say such a thing, Zach.
No.
I mean, what are you talking about?
That sounds so horrible
when you say it like
Tyler
that.
Tyler Palumbis is public enemy number one in my life right now, and I'm going to find a way to get it. I'm going to find a way to get it all back.
All right, break the game home. We'll play again. I'll play you again.
All right, sounds good, dude. Yeah. See you guys.
We have a sponsor for this, right, Tyler?
Yes, that is Rox Heating and Air. That's ROX. Rox Heating and Air.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds awful. To be honest with you, I laughed at the highlights, though. I thought there would be more, but that's cool. I mean, you know.
Do you like the little trash talk then? Maybe we should get a little snippet of that. Kevin, can you cut the very end when I'm talking trash to him for me?
Maybe. It's just right out there.
And by the
Twitter.
Way, it wasn't just
Tyler. Can you just
still
leave
here.
Already?
No.
Oh, my gosh. He's
still
like
here.
This little like just ghost that keeps popping out of the closet.
He couldn't wait to leave yesterday, and now we can't get rid of him.
Well,
yeah?
I got to mention this just on the way out here. Truly on the way out. It wasn't just Tyler talking trash. He put his son on FaceTime, and his son was calling me a liar.
Oh, yeah.
And no good.
I mean, Wait, Zach, hold on. Let me see if I can find my text from my son yesterday real quick, because he actually sent me a text while I was on air of things he wanted me to remind you of. He wanted me to remind you that you were an absolute liar during the first game when we were playing and everything was going great, and then all of a sudden you start pointing to your headphones, and he says, oh, I can't hear you. I can't hear Tyler. I can't do this.
Unbelievable.
He also would like to remind you when you said that you couldn't play the game because you had to go to the radio station, but when we logged on, because we logged on at the appropriate time, we saw at 104.3 The Fan playing Madden football. So whatever's going on there, you definitely were getting a little extra practice time, man. There was a lot of lies, a lot of fibs, and my son caught on to all of them.
Wow, I'm seeing this on Twitter right now. Horace Grant, Zach Bye is a bigger liar than Michael Jordan.
My internet went out. Oh, so sorry.
Oh, my gosh. You're
hey,
something.
Zach, by the way, as long as we have you. There were some BS moments in that documentary.
Oh, there's a lot of them.
A lot of them. You agree with that,
right? Oh, yeah. It was in some ways a puff piece for Mike at certain parts of it. You guys know his two best friends were the executive producers for this thing?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you talk about sifting through what you want included and what you don't want included. You know, you guys know Ken Burns, the famous documentary maker, Civil War. Does a great job, Emmy Award winner. He said he won't even watch it. He said because that's it, when you give control of the focus of a documentary to the guy who is the focus, it loses credibility.
So did that change the way you felt about it when you watched it?
I just take it for what it is. It was engaging content. I was very entertained. I love learning about greatness and some of the details and some of the footage and resetting the stories. But to think that was an authentic documentary is just not true.
Right,
five guys didn't show up and deliver the pizza.
Right.
You know, just stuff like that. It gets you know, it's like a fishing tail.
Yeah, Horace Grant really is ripping him for just being an out-and-out liar.
A lot of things can happen. A lot of lies can be told when your friends aren't able to hold you accountable on air, you know?
Yeah, and I thought Stink put it perfectly last week
right over his head. Straight over.
Go ahead, Stink,
I'm sorry, Stink said, and I apologize, Tyler, but Stink said, he goes, you know, everyone talks about Michael Jordan being this killer who doesn't give a damn what you think unless you hurt his feelings, and then he'll never talk to you again.
Right.
Michael has turned into, and you notice this with a lot of times with very successful people. I've noticed in my own life that oftentimes the more successful a person is, the more sensitive they become because the more willing to cut you off.
Well, they haven't
been challenged. They are surrounded by yes men, and their calluses that they earned years before have become soft. And they are not receptive to the same way that they would be or ever were. So I think that Michael Jordan is an extreme case of that.
Yeah, At the end of the day, I just think Michael Jordan, my biggest takeaway was Michael Jordan's kind of a jerk. Not kind of, he is a jerk.
Yeah.
Not to say he's not a great player, because obviously he's one of the best, if not the best. But just as a person, the guy's just kind of a jerk, man.
You know, D-Mac, I think you're really hitting it on the head here, because I tweeted this yesterday with a Karl Malone thread.
Oh, my gosh.
Gosh, was that wild.
Just because you are a... You are great at something. It doesn't matter if you're a player, if you're a coach. That does not define who you are as a person. And I think Michael Jordan is an incredible example of that. The second all-time leading scorer in the history of basketball, Karl Malone, is a great example of that. You're talking about a guy who was impregnating 13-year-olds when he was in college.
Jeez.
You're talking about a guy who would not pay a $125 court-ordered payment for expenses, for medical expenses for one of his kids when he won't pay it, and he's on an $800,000 rookie contract. And he said that it was too much. You're talking about a guy who's told his kid that it was too late to have a relationship with him because he was already too old. It's just disgusting behavior. I can't stand any of it. And we need to keep these things in mind when we try to interweave success of something, a coach, a player, and try to attach it to who they are as a person.
Yeah.
We've learned time and time again. Doesn't matter if you're talking about Tiger Woods. Doesn't matter if you're talking about Karl Malone. Greatness on the athletic field does not define you as a human being.
Yeah, by the way, in the documentary, plenty of talk about Michael Jordan, his dad. Zero talk about Michael Jordan as a dad.
No.
Nothing.
Yeah, we didn't get to know anything about his family.
Nothing about Juanita, who he was married to for 17 years. So because he didn't want that in there. Yeah. Oh, anyways. Hey, let me add another real quick one, Zach.
Sure.
NBA operating. This is what I heard today. NBA starts with the playoffs, operates out of Orlando for everybody there. What do you think?
I think it's great. I mean, you consider.
Like that.
Oh, I love it, because we have to remind ourselves where we were just 14 days ago.
Heck yeah.
You know, we have to remind ourselves that Pedro Gomez jumped on Stokely and Zach last week and says he thinks it's 70% doubtful that baseball will have a season in general. So the tone here has flipped. Completely. This has been the most exciting and progressive weeks within the framework of pro sports. That's all I'm talking about here. So within the framework of them coming back, this has been the most encouraging week that we've had since this pandemic hit. So if you're telling me we're going to get to see the entirety of the NBA playoffs and they're going to pull it off from Orlando's Walt Disney World Resort, yeah, this is a huge, massive step in the right direction. And you're seeing the paths for a return being grooved by the governors of these states, working in conjunction with the pro sports themselves. And for me, again, within the framework of the conversation of just pro sports returning, how can you not be excited? Today has been a great day and has put a pep in my step.
All right, cool. Just for the record, I'm going to see if Steven can just pod me up from this brick unit here from home tomorrow at the beginning of your show. So we'll see you then.
Come on in. You guys are always welcome, and I'll give myself a plug. Just don't make it 12:30 because we're going to be joined by Bill Polian on tomorrow's show. We can talk about the offseason and everything, you know, Broncos related.
Nice. Have you ever heard the Bill Polian Jay Moore debates?
No. Like Jay Moore, the comedian?
I won't go into detail, but if anybody wants a really interesting listen to Bill Polian and Jay Moore yell at each other. It's unreal.
Oh, we'll ask him about it tomorrow.
Okay.
I love it. You guys have a great day.
I'll see you later.
Let me play a little bit of Gavin Newsom, the governor of California.
Sporting events, pro sports, in that first week or so of June without spectators and modifications and very prescriptive conditions also can begin to move forward. And a number of other sectors of our economy will open up again if we hold these trend lines in the next number of weeks. And that includes, for example, getting a haircut.
You know, I suspected the politicians, the governors, and everybody else would really want pro sports to come back.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Because nothing would just sort of be a sign of things getting back to normal than a ball game is on. And right. I heard today, in terms of the NHL, maybe two or three central locations. You know, like I just said to Zach, I heard with the NBA that we'll do everything for playoff teams in Disney World. Think about that for a second. Doesn't that make sense? You're in a fantastic facility.
Oh, Disney World is perfect. Orlando could not get any better for the NBA.
Right?
First off, they've got about 15 hotels right there on campus. I don't know last time you went to Disney World.
Bring your whole family down there.
Yeah, right. You know, we were out there just a couple of years ago, and you could fit the entire league and plenty right there on campus. I don't know about the actual, like, facilities as far as, like, basketball arenas go, but you know within a 10-mile radius of Orlando, whether it's right there on campus at Walt Disney or not, there's a million different places to go, from UCF to all the high schools to all the amazing academies, high school basketball academies that they've got out there. The facilities are everywhere.
Yeah, I think it'd be we had talked about the MLS perhaps returning there, because we talked about the Rams with Stan Kroenke just relocating perhaps to Denver. But now here's the governor of California. Well, all right. That's the governor of California.
Yeah, good to hear, because California was the one state that we've been the most concerned by, right? We're like, man, California's not coming back. No way they're going to have professional sports there.
Well, I mean, they were canceling everything left and right with the colleges.
Right, right. And colleges, I think we still have got a tougher task on hand here, because you're talking about bringing 30,000 people back onto campus, and there's a different nuance to the challenges that go with that. But with pro sports in particular, good news. It sounds like if the NFL does come back, we won't be getting the Rams or the 49ers, because they'll have their own places to play at.
Sounds like. And, okay, there you go. I think there's just going to be – and listen, I know I took a lot of heat about
this might actually open up a – what if football – okay, so football's not going to Orlando. I get it. Football's just talking about having everything just go forward from their normal locations. But – I wonder if this could turn into something extra. You know, I wonder if all these professional sporting leagues, what if this turns into a really cool, like, preseason event where you take all the teams to one city and you play a whole bunch of games in one place, have, like, a little Final Four type of atmosphere before the season begins. I wonder if this turns into any, like even economic growth for these leagues.
I think anything is possible during this time. I see what's happening. I mean, you know, whether it's
what's happening
if it's safe or not so safe. You're seeing a basically a willingness to just get things going again, and hopefully things are safer. And of course, there'll be a myriad of protocols that will have to be part of anything returning. And of course, no fans will be there. So with all those stipulations, Tyler, I think everything's going to be back by July.
So what are we talking about with basketball in particular, though? Are they just talking about playoffs?
Everybody's just talking about playoffs. NHL's just talking about playoffs. NBA is just talking about playoffs, and that's the way to go. In terms of, it's going to be a negative thing or an asterisk, nobody's going to care. Everybody's going to value what's happening and be excited to watch it, and that will just be the story of this particular season. In addition, I think the whole concept, there's not enough time before the season starts again, well, that's only going to be the case with a couple of teams, and all right, maybe that's not great for those couple of teams, but you know, the greater good, Tyler. And when I see certain people upset about certain things, I do wonder if they are just thinking about themselves or they can think about the greater good with stuff. So I don't know. And I, by the way, I would not be upset at any player who just said, I don't want to be part of this, I don't trust it, it doesn't matter to me. And I would say, hey man, I respect your opinion, but we're moving on without you. And I don't think any player, Tyler, is bigger than the game itself.
Well, there's not going to be many of them. Number one, they got to be the uber rich, okay? And number two, they got to be uber rich, and they got to be at a point in their career where they don't care about the game anymore. They've got to have lost the love of the game to some degree. The guys that are out there playing for league minimum, guys that are out there just trying to sneak out a 4 or 5 year career, which is 99.9% of the league, they're all going to be out there because they can't afford to lose out on a year of a paycheck.
I wonder, too, I mean, a lot was made about Tom Brady having his workouts. I do wonder, in the NFL, what the ripple effect of that was. You know, today, the rest of this week, will there be a little bit of pressure? I kind of sit here amazed that every team in the league isn't doing something like that, or asking their guys to do something like that, or having their quarterback, nod, nod, wink, wink, ask guys to do something like that.
Well, you can't directly ask them to do it, because then you're telling them what their morals are for them. Guys don't need to be told that, though, I promise you. This is a pressure-filled environment that, you know, if you don't perform, you're not going to have a job. But Drew Locke, like, he knows, hey, man, he's the new anointed king, but that could go away in a heartbeat. He doesn't want to come back and have a bad season. He wants to come back and get things rolling. So, you know, he's gotten together with his guys. He's gotten a few wide receivers together, throwing a few similar type of throwing sessions. I think that this is always that way with NFL. Well, you find a way to bend the rules no matter what.
Right. Let me ask you this. I guess this is maybe what the first question should be. Does it matter? Do you think it has an impact one way or another if you get guys together over the next couple weeks to do this?
So I'm not a huge believer in passing camps. I've always thought they're way overrated. It's one of the most annoying conversations every single year when we get to July, and we're talking about, man, is Drew Locke going to throw a passing camp, or man, is Trevor Siemian, or is it going to be Paxton Lynch?
Yeah.
Man, neither one of these guys have any leadership qualities. Boy, what's going to happen? This team's going to be terrible.
Right.
Nothing really, really goes down at these passing camps. Peyton Manning is probably the only guy I ever played around that could actually orchestrate a practice outside of the building without coaching. Is present, that it's going to be structured enough that you're actually getting something out of it.
So not
this
a big
year
deal.
But this year, DMAC, I feel a little bit different. You know,
this
is not a normal year, nor are these normal circumstances. You're missing out on OTAs right now. You're missing out on time from the building. Drew Locke has never met Jerry Jeudy in person. You know, he's never met these wide receivers in person. Well, I don't know if he has by now, but point being, he certainly doesn't know much about him. He doesn't have any chemistry with them. I do think if they're legally and morally able to get together, they should be.
Here's I got a little clip before we get to the water cooler. Melvin Gordon, he hates OTAs.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, I honestly, me personally, I hate OTAs. you know, I do, man, because every year you hear about, you know, a player be putting in all this hard work, and then every year you hear about a player, you know, missing out for the rest of the season. Like, it's just stupid. And I mean, I honestly hate it. I honestly wish we could do more. I wish OTAs ran over Zoom, be honest with you.
Of course they do. Of course players wanted a run over Zoom.
Oh, my God.
Told me I'd get an extra 2 month vacation, stay at home, and all I need to do is log online for an hour and a half. Okay.
Too funny. Okay, man, a CU Buffalo has tried something brand new and epically failed, but the effort is spectacular. Details at the water cooler next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
All right, do you hear this, Tyler? Spencer Dinwiddie. Shoulder to shoulder, right?
See you shoulder to shoulder, yeah.
There you go, buddy. He tried something that I got to give him some props for. It didn't work out the way he expected, but here's what he tried to do. He is going to be a free agent. And, you know, you have endorsements from a lot of shoe companies or Gatorade or whatever. So he said shoe companies and endorsers influence team decisions all the time. My/our biggest endorsers will always be the fans. So I want to have some fun with this while we are still in a quarantine. I hope no owners/team personnel participate, so there's no impropriety on this one-of-a-kind endorsement deal. What he was asking for is, if NBA team fans of any particular team reached a Bitcoin target of $24.6 million on a GoFundMe page, he would sign with that team.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting.
Very interesting. Saying, all right, I mean, that's assuming a lot. But, and I don't know exactly how this all translates with the old Bitcoin, Tyler. I mean, I don't even know. Is 24.6 million in Bitcoin like real money or it's
Bitcoin? It's definitely real money. I mean, it's a cryptocurrency, but and it's highly volatile, but it's real money.
All right. Well, quite a creative idea. Basically saying, I don't really care about what the salary the team's paying me. I'll just go wherever the fans want. So I guess the other side to this is he would just offer his services for a very relatively low amount where a team would be foolish to not sign him.
So this is actually his second go around at something very similar to this. Previously, when he was playing for the Nets at the time, I believe, he had tried to raise an IPO in cryptocurrency. So, in other words, it was an initial public offering that he would be able to players would have stock in Spencer Dinwiddie, the athlete, and they could buy and sell that stock, and he wouldn't be able to buy or sell it, I don't believe, but it would go up in value, it would go down in value, and people would be able to create income based off of his athletic career. I don't think that one ever went through. I'm not entirely sure what happened to it. This sounds like a little bit of a playoff of it, and legally speaking, less technical terms, that he was just going to do a GoFundMe. hey, you want to be, so anybody out there want to give me $24 million, I'll go sign for your team. Right. I don't know who out there is going to be passing that kind of cash around, but he definitely is out there being creative.
Well, a bit of bad news for Spencer.
Uh-oh.
Now, his goal was $24.6 million.
What team does he have to sign with?
In Bitcoin. Well, it didn't quite
get that. Who's the worst team in the NBA?
Tyler didn't quite get that far.
Oh, it didn't?
He took this whole campaign down yesterday after raising a total of 1,150 bitcoins.
Wait, so, hold on. 1,150 bitcoins or $1,150?
I don't know. What's the difference? I have no idea. It's 1,001. I guess it's
like the value of Bitcoin, I think, is like it's like it goes between like $6,000 and $10,000 on any given week.
I don't
know. So like one Bitcoin could be like $10,000.
Well, whatever it was, I guess there's a dollar sign here, so I guess it's cash, $1,150. However you want to split it, it doesn't come close to the 24.6 million. So
wasn't enough for him to go sign at that that fan's choice. $1,150 wasn't going to get it done for him.
More news at the.
Does he return the money? Do they get the money back?
I don't know. But good luck to Spencer, and it's innovative. Who knows? Maybe it's the future. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. By the way, at the water cooler, still, are you seeing this footage of Cam Newton throwing?
No, I actually have not seen this. How's he look?
Well, at first when I'm watching him, I thought he had a GoPro on his head. And because it was this like thing that was jutting and sticking off, like, oh, maybe he's got a camera on his head to see where the. And then, that's his hair. How's he look? It's in black and white, and he throws like five passes, and
I bet they were all completions.
They were all completions.
What do you know? The guy puts out a highlight reel. And he didn't have a single incompletion? I cannot believe this.
Not a single incompletion.
I wonder how many attempts that took to get five in a row.
Look at you.
According to what I watched last year on the field, that might have taken about 250 passes.
So, like Spencer Dinwiddie trying to...
You're about to say something mean about that with that name. I can tell.
I wasn't
going
to say...
Nope, I could tell you were going to.
No, I wasn't. There's two things I was not going to say.
Don't talk about my Buffalo like that.
I wasn't going to say Spencer Dinwiddie, nor...
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Nor was I going to say Spencer Dimwitted. I was not going to say either of those things. Cam Newton. Man, what do we got here for the future of... Cam Newton, you think, Tyler? Where do you think we're going here with good old Cam?
I don't know, D-Mac. Let's see. The options that are out there would be the Jaguars, potentially the Patriots, but they're not going to do it. Who else? Give me some other teams that could potentially, before I even answer it, let's brainstorm the teams that he could potentially even play for, you know?
Well, I think he could be a backup for anybody.
Okay, well, maybe.
But I don't think he could be a starter for anybody.
Right, so but if he's looking for a starting gig, he's got the Jags.
Jags and the Patriots.
And the Patriots. That's about it, right? Yeah. Yeah. So where are we headed for Cam Newton? I don't really get the vibe he's going to be into being a backup. Do you? I don't really get that kind of vibe on Cam Newton.
You don't have a choice.
He does. He's got a choice. He's got a choice. He could stay at home and live very well off all that insane money he's made. That choice.
I think he's got to be in a competitive situation where he'd have to accept being a backup at this point. I don't think there's any slam dunk spot.
Yeah, see, the problem for Cam is he can't really just sit it out and buy his time for somebody to get hurt. You know, there's certain quarterbacks, there's certain players that I would advise, hey, man, you would actually be in a better situation rather than just going and signing with any team as a backup. Just wait it out. Somebody's going to get hurt. There's going to be a job out there. You're the best in the world at what you do as far as the guys that are on the street. You will get your crack at it. But for Cam Newton, boy, even if he was sitting on the street and your starter goes down, that's a pretty tough guy to bring in because you got to reinvent your entire offense. You know, you got to come up with RPOs. You got to come up with zone reads. You got to come up with tons of sprint outs. I mean, everything would be different. So he's really not the type of guy that you could just sign at a moment's notice and put him on the field. I do think that if he wants to play football, he's just going to have to figure out where is there a team that has got a good – a high likelihood of the starter failing. You know, what are those teams? Honestly, if I was Cam Newton, I don't think the Broncos are looking at him, nor do I want them to be looking at him right now. But if I was Cam Newton, I would look at the Denver Broncos. Heck yeah, I would. I mean, come on. You're talking about a young kid that's played in five games and everybody's anointed him. All right, look, we're all excited about him from inside here in Denver. We've all got our reasons for optimism about Drew Locke. But if you're Cam Newton and you're looking at that, this young pup's played in five games. You're telling me he's going to work out. I'd be sitting there begging the Denver Broncos to give me a contract.
Well, I think he's going to have to Jameis Winston it up, take a very low salary for a very short term, and be willing to be a backup. I think that's it. It's crazy, man. It's amazing to see where this has gone with a guy who was just, I mean, he was just so unbelievable. It feels like yesterday, and now this is where he's at. Wild. Hey, when we come back.
The current price of Bitcoin, DMAC, is $9,566 per coin.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, so what was it? $9,000 what?
$9,566 per Bitcoin.
All right. Hold on. That changes everything.
So if you got 1,150 of those.
166 times 1,056. Well, that's not bad. That's the equivalent of $11 million.
No way.
Did I not get that right?
No way he actually raised $11 million. I think we were looking at USD value. I think we were looking at the value of the dollar there.
Give me the numbers again.
If he raised $11 million, that is mind-blowing. So the number for one Bitcoin,
Bitcoin is
$9,566.
I'll do it again. $9,566 times, what, he got $11,000? Well, maybe it was just $11,000. It was just $1,150. Yeah, so maybe it was like a Bitcoin.
I mean, that would actually be insanely impressive, DMAC, if he actually raised $11 million. That's a little bit humbling, by the way. That's a little bit humbling. I'm putting it out there in the public that I want $24 million from all you guys. I'll go to whatever team you want. You just got to give me $24 million. You only came up with $1,100.
Okay. Bitcoin, the wave of the future, maybe. DeMarcus Ware was with the boys in the morning. He had some comments about Von Miller. This Peter King stuff is fantastic. Some stories to tell about Peyton Manning. It's Steelers week as we go through the Broncos schedule and we get the scoop on the Steelers. All still to come right here on The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Steelers week, we'll dig into the Steelers on Wednesday. Coming up, football at 4 in just a little bit. DeMarcus Ware was on with the boys in the morning. I'm curious to get some feedback from you, Tyler, about some of the things he said. He said this about Von Miller.
I didn't see any of his play declining at all. It's just the way that teams are really just focusing on once Chubb got hurt. Everything was more of a fan. They're bringing it center, their guard, their tackle, putting the tight end over there. They're chipping him. If he goes to the right side, you know what? They bring that running back over there and chip him. I know exactly what that was like, especially in my younger years of being focused on. And then I just started thinking to myself, you know, how can I make myself better? And that's where he's at right now, is just saying, hey, I need to get the guys better around me. And then I'll be able to get a lot more one-on-one and be effective.
Did Von have a decline in play last year?
Yeah, he had a decline in play. You know, what DeMarcus Ware is talking about, it's definitely true. I know very well, as an offensive lineman, when you've got only one pass rusher that you're really concerned about, they're going to send that slide. They're going to send the slide protection to that guy 99% of the time because they say, you know what, we're going to bank on our one-on-one blocks, our good versus good guys, and then where we've got a weakness, well, we're going to send the slide that way, and we'll bank on everybody else doing their job. When you've got two guys that are very concerning, and you've got a game plan around both of them, well, there's things you could do with formations to try to help your guys out. You can go with kind of two double tight set with them off the ball, try to channel the pass rushers in a little bit, but you can't send the slide to both of them, and you can't have them to both get double teams. You just don't have enough bodies. The math says that somebody's gonna have to be singled up. So Vaughn, when Chubb got hurt, I agree, yeah, the slides were still going his direction. Yeah, he was getting the chips, and absolutely that impacted Von Miller. But that can be true, and we say the old Von Miller used to have to deal with that as well, and he found a way, you know? Right.
And we watched a lot of games yesterday looking for the chips or the double team, and it wasn't there.
Oh, he got plenty of them, D-Mac. He got plenty of them. What do you mean?
I remember last fall when we were going through games, and it was just like, where's Von, and what's going on here, and we looked at – okay.
Well, maybe there's our next fan film room session, you know? Maybe. We got to go back and break down Von Miller.
I mean, well,
which I would be happy to do. That's right up my alley.
Here's what Ware said, that kind of what you were saying on that.
You know, it's so crazy. You know, just talking with Vaughn, I think that, you know, one thing that he really is really trying to do is build a team around himself, right? Knowing that, you know, he's been guys where they kill him 100% of the time. But, and I, so I told him, I said, if you can focus everybody there around you, guess what? You're not going to get doubled as much. You're going to be a lot more effective. And I said, that comes with leadership.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I would say, what can Vaughn really do? You know, what can he really do to have a better supporting cast around him? I think DeMarcus Ware.
That seems like some bubblegum advice right there.
Well, sort of. The only reason I sort of believe it out DeMarcus Ware is because, I only played with him 1 year, but I've never, ever in my entire career seen another player that was a full-time coach during practice. I mean, I'm talking – now, he wasn't practicing, so that was part of it as well. He barely ever practiced. Once every other week, he'd come out there and practice with us.
Well, he was getting ready for that big Cowboys coaching job.
Oh,
There's no doubt about it.
But yeah. He was a full-time coach out there, and, you know, maybe that genuinely was his mindset. I need to give back. I got to give my resources to these other guys so they can improve so that I've got a fighting chance. It's just, look, man, you've got what you got. The talent is what it is. Mike Munchak can only make the offensive line look so good with the guys that he's got.
All right, how about this one? Because this would connect to you, because you certainly were out at these practices with DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller.
I think they can be a lot better.
He's talking about Chubb and Von. Okay. And Von. Okay.
I think they can be a lot better. They're young. With Chubb, when I was up coaching him, him and Vaughn, you know, Chubb was one of those guys where one thing I didn't have is as much power and size as Chubb, right? He was fast. He wasn't as fast as me, but he was a stronger guy, and that's what you need on that right side to be able to push those big left tackles into your left end, who was Vaughn.
All right, big left tackle. Oh, better duo.
If DeMarcus Ware didn't have any power behind him, why did I end up on my ass all the time? Huh? I promise you, DeMarcus Ware had plenty of power behind those legs. Plenty.
Yeah, are they better? I get it. I get it. I understand what you're saying, but I think Bradley Chubb probably is stronger. But there's no way.
Oh, they're
Bradley
different
Chubb is as fast or as quick as DeMarcus Ware. That's
no,
impossible.
They definitely have much different games. Bradley Chubb plays everything through the body, and DeMarcus Ware tried to play everything around the body. Are they better than DeMarcus Ware? Can they be better? I don't know, D-Mac.
That's,
I mean, can
good.
They be? That's asking a lot because, damn. Okay, will Von Miller produce – let's see, what year was – can you remember what year DeMarcus Ware was in during the Super Bowl?
What year he was in?
Yeah, for him. I mean, guess. Give me a ballpark. 10, 11, somewhere in that ballpark.
I was going to say 13 or whatever. Well, I don't know, the last year. I mean,
okay, yeah, whatever it was. I mean, can Von Miller in year 10 or 11 produce at the level that DeMarcus Ware was producing at? That's the first question you would have to ask yourself. And then secondly, can Bradley Chubb be the type of partner to DeMarcus Ware that Von Miller was to D. Ware? I don't know, D-Mac. That's asking a lot. I know this. Bradley Chubb isn't DeMarcus Ware yet. I know Bradley Chubb isn't Von Miller yet. And we got to see Von Miller kind of have a nice little resurgence in the second half of his career here.
Hey, What to Know Wednesday, it's Steelers week, so we'll get an inside source about what to know about the Steelers. We have Peter King talking about Peyton Manning. These are some awesome stories. Pat's playbook, we're looking at playoff games now. What will the Broncos look like in the playoffs? That's all still to come. Football at 4 kicks it off next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.